I speak to you in the name of God. Amen. If you think I'm going to touch that gospel, you're crazy. At some point in my growing up, I realized that life has an order to it. Even before I could find the words, I knew that everything is connected. Soon I discovered that the shape of these connections matters. One order is not as good as every other. And the emergence of my moral sense made me pay attention to the shape and boundaries of the order of life. From the beginning, my family was the paradigm for the world, and that small community at home projected its shape, boundaries, and rules onto the rest of everything. How I live with my parents and siblings largely determined how I expected to live with friends and schoolmates and strangers. But every community has its ways, and they are not lightly ignored. Since we invest so much in our families, transgressions upon those rules are shocking and disorienting. They upset the world. Often, and you tell me if your experience is different from mine, often the testing and disorientation happen like this. Let's say that we have a rule in our family that children cannot go outside for an hour after dinner. One day my son John disturbs my after-dinner coffee and kvetches at me. Daniel is outside playing, and he's not supposed to be. Tell him to come inside. Familiar? It turns out that Daniel is throwing the baseball with the neighbor child who knocked on the door seeking someone to play with him. Today the church has given us readings of people acting like children. And some of them are complaining that the rules have been broken. When the children of Israel had been in the desert a long time, they grew tired of the wilderness and wanted to go back to Egypt. They had food to eat, melons, onions, leeks, garlic. Out here they just had manna. Moses, their leader, also in the desert for a long time, began to wish he did not have the burden of leadership. So God, being God, and always inclined toward mercy and grace, gave the children of Israel meat to eat and gave Moses relief from his burden. As you heard this morning, 70 men went with Moses to a special place where God took some of their rushing spirit from Moses and placed it upon the others, and they also acted like prophets. However, while all this was done decently and in order, as we Episcopalians would say, somebody came running up to Moses and said, "Eldad and Medad are acting like prophets back at home." You know, you can't trust anybody named Eldad or Medad. And Joshua, one day to lead the people, but on this day acting like a child whose world has been upset, cried out, "Moses, stop them! Moses, stop them." This tendency never goes away, because a long time later, one of Jesus' closest friends, John, said with great annoyance, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we said, stop." It is that same old troubled child, upset that the rules are ignored, unable to recognize God's better order beyond the rules. Imagine this scene. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one of the well-known progressive members of Congress, goes to Mike McCarthy, the Republican minority leader in the House of Representatives, offers to co-sponsor a bill that includes a path to citizenship for Dreamers and significant strengthening of the national border. Somebody in the Democratic caucus runs to Nancy Pelosi and cries, "Stop her! She's consorting with the enemy." I won't hazard how the speaker might respond, but in both of the stories we read today, the childish pique does not prevail. Moses said to Joshua, "I wish everybody would act like prophets, and I wish God would spread this rushing spirit of leadership far and wide." And Jesus Jesus simply stopped John, not the other person. Jesus said, no, let's not stop him. He's doing a powerful deed, and that brings him close to us. Strange, isn't it, that children figure so prominently in the readings? Strange because sometimes children fiercely and zealously enforce the rules. And sometimes children alone see the world beyond the boundaries. Throughout the 9th chapter of Mark, children appear as signifiers of the kingdom of God. Mark surely means to include young, small people and new believers in his world of children. To scandalize such young ones is a great offense, great enough to warrant the most exaggerated and colorful threats. From the far reaches of the wilderness stories of Numbers to the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as Mark calls his story, the children of God wobble forward. Every so often, the child's question rises through the dull roar of our obedience. Why can't the rushing spirit of God's power flow freely, bringing relief to the burdened and water to the thirsty? Immediately, the guardian child stands up and cries out, stop him. Stop it. Stop them. Make it stop. Those two children are ageless. They've been around forever. Strangely enough, I recognize both of them inside me. And as I look out this morning, I see both of them rising to speak. Amen.